The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon and Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Ed Morse is rolling out the red carpet in 2018 at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. General Manager Brian Danahy right now has his 2018 red carpet sales event. Lease a 2018 ATS sedan for a new low payment, just $279 a month, zero down. Or get 0% financing 60 months and up to $19,000 off all remaining 2017s. Kick off your new year in a new Cadillac from Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit edmorescadillactampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, right on Causeway Boulevard, now you can save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now, get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. Visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Start your search there. Thank you again to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.
All right, here we go, baby.
Happy Tuesday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, Sage Podcast, as we call it. January 23rd, we're here with Ira Kaufman, Mr. Spectrum Sports 360. You see him on Fox. You hear him on Sirius XM Mad Dog Radio.
Steve Riley.
I'm Steve Isbitz. Lee DeKemper is here. We are JoeBucksFan.com. We thank you, of course, for listening on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, other platforms, and right on JoeBucksFan.com. Every Tuesday, Thursday, a new podcast. And Ira, the season marches on. A lot of stuff going on. But, you know, we've been talking a lot of playoffs. Let me report that with one game to go, you have a two-game lead on me and a three-game lead on Lee. So
that's called it's over.
It's been over for a while, my friend. It's been over for a while.
Congrats for picking the Eagles last week, Steve. Nicely done.
Yes. So, Ira, you know what? The playoffs are here. We watched those games yesterday. We're recording Monday night at Port Richey Hooters. Hello, ladies. And what should Bucks fans take away? Bucks fans, take away from the NFC game, the Eagles crushing the Vikings.
All right, I'll give you an example of smart management by the Eagles. Guys, they already had a good defensive line. They already had a good one. And they got to the first round in the draft, and I think it might have been number 14, something like that. They drafted ahead of the Bucs. And this guy, Derek Barnett, was out there. Tennessee. I read the scouting reports on him. He's no speedster. But he never quits on a play. I think he broke Reggie White's sack record at UT, which isn't too shabby. And with the 14th pick in the draft, the Philadelphia Eagles take Derek Barnett. I'm watching the game yesterday. Barnett smacks Case Keenum while he's getting ready to throw, fumble. Biggest play in the game.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean Minnesota's going to win that game. They got killed. But Minnesota was driving, and the game was still fairly close. That was the biggest play. Eagles jumped on the ball, and I think the Eagles went on down and scored a touchdown or another field goal. You can never have too many of these guys. That's one big lesson that we've learned the hard way here in Tampa. And Buck fans still gnashing their teeth. Lee, you know, Jason Light, you talk a good game. Vernon Hargraves, O.J. Howard. What about the trenches? What about the trenches? Got a lot to prove going into 2018.
Last year before the draft, when there was all kinds of rumors the Bucks were interested in O.J. Howard. And fans got all excited. There was one guy, I can't remember his name, on our site. I mean, this guy commented 20 times a day, O.J. Howard, O.J. Howard. And I said, man, the Bucks already have a Pro Bowl caliber tight end. They got holes. Oh, O.J. Howard, O.J. Howard. I'm like, okay, don't come back and scream that the Bucks didn't address another area because they got.
And you're not saying O.J. Howard won't be a very good player.
I think he's going to be a stud for years to come. I really am. I'm not saying that was a wrong pick, or should I say bad pick. But, you know, hey, you wanted O.J. Howard. The Bucks obviously wanted him. Cutter obviously wanted him. A lot of fans wanted him. Well, that meant they had to pass up on a player at a position of need, whether it be Dalvin Cook or you picked the player. So if people are screaming, Jason Light, why didn't you do such and such? Where were you people last year when they picked O.J. Howard?
And, Steve, this leads me into a column that I'm going to be doing on Wednesday. I've already got my column topic. That's how much I'm thinking about this website over there, Isbitz. And
the level, the dedication, Ira, it's unmatched.
It's unmatched. And as soon as I finish up with these wings and fries, I'm going to hit the weight room. So I'm fully awake on Wednesday morning.
Well, I'm going to jump ahead before I jump back here.
I didn't give the topic yet to Kemper.
We'll get back to you, but you teed me up here. Your cardiologist, I was going to offer you a couple places in Minnesota to go when you vote in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to be up there Sunday. You'll be up there later. I was going to give you some advices, and I got to thinking, man, do you want to really give your cardiologist that much business? So we'll go back to your topic.
And you also said something which is very, very good, because I'm staying by the Mall of America, and I thought I have to go downtown every day. And then you said that the headquarters is by the Mall of America.
Yes. Now, I'm the guy that's got to schlep it.
You got to schlep it, baby. although there's a luncheon on Friday, the Merlin Olsen luncheon. I have been
Merlin
invited.
Merlin Olsen.
I think he passed away.
Yes, he did.
And there's going to be a lot of Hall of Famers there. I've been invited because I am the Tampa
Because you are the sage.
Got to wear a sports coat, Steve. Got to wear a sports coat. And when you're in Minneapolis, you better be wearing more than a sports coat. I might bring the trench coat. The trench coat might come out.
Columbo.
I might be taken for a foreign spy. Anyway, can I mention the topic of Wednesday's column, Steve?
I sure hope so.
I've talked all around this. Steve, physicality. The Bucks don't have it. The Eagles do. And anybody who says that the Patriots are just a finesse team haven't been watching the Patriots, because they hit you in the mouth too, and the Bucks don't. So that's going to be my topic, and I'll have a couple of eye-openers for the readers on Wednesday.
Ira, you mentioned Derek Barnett a minute ago, and you also mentioned how, yeah, Bucks could have had him.
They couldn't have had him.
He was drafted.
But tell you what, the guy, the irritant for me, I've written about Jim Schwartz enough, and hopefully I get to
talk
to him.
You got Schwartz on your mind.
Darn right, because that guy was out there. Okay, I'll talk about it. Son of a gun was out there as a free agent looking for work, one of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL. And I understand when Cutter and Smith parted ways in Atlanta, they had a handshake deal. I get it. I understand it. They're buddies. But gosh darn, at least bring the guy in for an interview or something. I don't know if that ever happened. But I wrote at the time, that's great you hired Dirk Cutter. Now complete the job and go get Schwartz. He'll turn this defense around. Well, look what he did in Philadelphia. Look where we are with the Bucks.
It almost begs the question, see, why hasn't he been given another shot at a head coaching job?
I thought the question was why Lee is not working for the Bucks personnel department.
Never mind that. That's a no-brainer.
The guy that irritates me on the Eagles that the Bucks could have had, and he made some plays Sunday, guy by the name of Chris Long.
Chris Long.
And he wouldn't have broken the bank. What, do you have 6 sacks this year? I mean, I love Jason Light to death, but some of these are like, what? Come on, man.
You better talk your boy DeKemper off the ledge over here, Steven.
He's
surrounded by Hooters waitresses, and he's
now
depressed.
That's a ledge.
And he's depressed.
All right, Iris. So, look, Minnesota, obviously, they got their doors blown off. They basically didn't show up.
They had a historic third down defense. Historic, 25%. The best in 30 years. Wait a minute. I think it's 40 years. Steve, every time I looked up, it was 3rd and 8. It wasn't like it was 3rd and 2. They did a very good job on the first few downs. And Lee, every time it was 3rd and 8, Foles got 9 yards, or the running back on 3rd and 6 got 7 yards. Tremendous play calls, tremendous execution. They shredded the best defense in football. You got to give it up for the Eagles quarterback.
I got to say this, and this will. I'm confident Bucks fans will want to punch me for saying this. But after watching the Eagles fans freak out after that win, these people need a Super Bowl. We can watch the apocalypse on Twitter if that happens. These people need a Super Bowl.
Well, did you see Buck fans going up and down Dale Mabry that night after the San Diego?
Yeah, but they weren't driving Jeeps up the Rocky statue.
I
and they weren't running into poles by trying to catch a train on and on and on. They showed one guy. He evidently punched a horse, a police horse. Looked like the police horse punched back.
That's the scene out of Blazing Saddles.
Well, yeah, I know, Alex Karras. But this guy, you know, Mongo like candy.
Mongo.
But this guy, he punched a horse. They threw a picture up on Twitter. Looked like the horse punched back.
Oh, boy. You know, Steve, one more point about
on the Eagles, Ira.
Yeah.
You know, Bucks fans, you know, when they analyze these teams, they're watching with a mind of why can't we be this team?
They got a hell of a defense.
Where are we missing? Where are we not? The Vikings. Where are we not? The Eagles. So let me throw this out to you. Jay Ajayi, 4th-round pick, midseason trade.
They traded the 4th-round pick for the guy.
And
like the Bucks can't part with the 4th-round pick?
Yeah.
They were so in love with Doug Martin? Come on.
So they can run the ball and they can play defense, Steve.
So that didn't happen, obviously, for the Bucks. Do you think, and we're never going to know the truth, do you think anywhere in your heart, in your sage being, that the Bucks made a play for Ajayi?
I don't, because I think at that point they still had some faith in Doug Martin. I don't want to choke on my words here.
I know.
But I don't remember the exact date that Ajayi joined the Eagles. I think it was...
We're at the trade deadline, right? End of October.
I think they were still holding out hope for Doug Martin. Guys, I know it sounds crazy.
I know.
It does sound crazy. Boy, did they do a job on the Vikings.
I'll tell you this. I like Dirk Cutter. I advocated his return. That didn't go over well with Bucs fans. I don't care. I spoke from my heart and my head. Dirk Cutter has a great quality, a great trait. It could also be damning. That's his loyalty. He is so loyal. And like I said, that's a great trait, can also be a curse. You could argue that was a curse with Mike Smith. You could certainly argue that was a curse with Doug Martin.
You know when you see loyalty a lot, Lee, and unfortunately it's not the case in Tampa. Steve, what are you looking for? You're looking for one of your French fries?
It's raining on me a little bit here, but I'm fine.
Tough it out. You know where you see loyalty, guys? When it's almost understandable, but you still got to fight it. When you win a couple of championships and you feel loyal to those guys, it happens all the time. Now, I remember Gruden was pretty tight with Bill Walsh.
Yeah.
And I can remember, say it was maybe 2005, something like that. Walsh was well retired. And Walsh came down to see the Bucks. I don't remember if it was training camp. Could have been training camp. Anyway, I got my 15 minutes with Walsh. I was working for the Trib at the time.
Oh, wow.
I had a little cachet with the Tribune.
Did he know you?
He didn't know me, but I told him I covered the Dwight Clark catch. Oh. He liked that. And and I started, you know, just asking him about some general philosophies of his, you know. You talk about sage. That is the sage.
Oh.
And one of the first things he said to me, and I wrote it up, you can't fall in love with these guys, Ira. You can't. Even the ones that won a championship for you. I'd rather get rid of a guy a year too early than a year too late.
You know
that was Bill Walsh.
You know where he got that from? Grant Trickey was that way.
There you go.
And one of the greatest.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to part with these guys. Now, Steve, the problem in Tampa is you and I talking about championships. We're talking about Dirk Cutter towards Mike Smith. We're talking about Dirk Cutter towards Doug Martin. Got nothing to do with guys that won your championship.
Ira, they went 9-7. Come on.
Stop thinking in the past over there.
Hey, I got some trivia real quick.
In 2016, you weighed 22 pounds less. We're not talking about 2016, Isbeth.
This is related to your Walsh story. I don't know how many Bucks fans know this. I'm confident you know this, Ira. You know everything. Who was significant, highly significant in the Bucks drafting a guy you're trying to get in the Hall of Fame next week?
I'm trying to get John Lynch in the Hall of
Yes.
Fame. Yes. Bill Walsh was.
Yes.
Bill Walsh
you
was
know the
at,
story,
at
don't
Stanford.
You? Yes. Tell the story. You know it.
Because, first of all, he was thinking about being a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he was talking about being a linebacker. And Brian Billick, I believe, was also there on that staff.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because I talked to Billick a couple of weeks ago about Lynch. Got a couple of quotes out about Billick. What made Lynch stand apart from Brian Dawkins? Because it's going to be a head-to-head battle in that room.
Did you say, Brian, what's with your brother-in-law? He doesn't know how to coach defense anymore?
Take it easy. I'm trying to keep on a good terms with these guys. You never know when you might use them. First thing, Bill goes, hey, I'm surprised you called me. No, nobody listens to me. Nobody listens to what I said, come on, Brian, you're on NFL Network. You're over here. So anyway, but you're talking about Bill Walsh, and he was instrumental in switching Lynch to safety and telling him you could be an outstanding NFL player. And thank God Lynch took his advice.
And how did he wind up with the Bucks? You know that story, right? Yeah. Obviously, Sam Weiss was
third round pick or something.
Well,
like that.
Sam Weiss was coaching the Bucks.
Yeah.
And Walsh told him, "You're out of your mind. You don't get Lynch."
1993,
safety.
I believe.
Yeah. Walsh called up Weiss, and basically told Weiss, "You're out of your mind if you don't draft Lynch as a safety." Based on a recommendation, Weiss said, "Get Lynch," and the rest is history.
Speaking of recommendations, we haven't talked about Ed Morse Cadillac, Stephen. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. I'm loyal to them, Steve.
What's
I got a little loyalty going there, too.
Ira, that's it. That's the fantastic endorsement. We heard all their offers, and your passion flows through. You're wearing the gray Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon gear.
I was at a Chinese takeout place at 6 o'clock tonight getting my shrimp fried rice, and the girl behind the counter said, I didn't know you worked for Ed Morse. I said, I'm representing, baby. I'm representing. It's a conversation starter, Steven.
And this is why we love Ira. Who works in Chinese buffet with Ed Morse Cadillac?
A Chinese buffet, and then I asked for an Ed Morse discount. She said, "Get out of here."
Hey, it doesn't compare. Doesn't compare to the silliness of Ira saying, "Hey, I'm going to the Merlin Olsen lunch. I think he's dead, but I'm going anyway." You know?
All right, I'll do my homework. I'll know whether he's alive, but I think he did pass
away. Don't go asking for Merlin at the lunch. All right, so Ira, enough. That's the NFC game. Lots we can take away, but appreciate the insight. Switch over to Jacksonville, Patriots, hell of a game. And what do we learn there? I'm going to throw something out to you first. because, you know, Jameis Winston is he's the guy in Tampa for now. And Blake Bortles is out there in the playoffs. Three games, no turnovers. No interceptions, no lost fumbles. Three games against three mighty...
And the result is two wins and a game they had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter.
And three games against excellent defenses. And look what happens. And you know what? Jameis, maybe that tells us... Does that tell us that if Jameis can just protect the darn football and we're going to have a much better shot?
Well, that sounds good on paper, Lee. But they're different personalities with different strengths and weaknesses. It seems to me that they've changed Bortles into a game manager. And if I had that defense, I'd do the same thing, Lee.
Yeah.
Bucks don't have that defense.
No, they don't.
We don't know. We don't know when or if they're ever going to get a defense that stout. And in the meantime, Jameis has to take his shots downfield. I'll tell you what, Bortles surprised me, Lee. He didn't lose that New England game.
No, it was there for him to win, but Marone got tight in the derriere.
You know, I'm surprised because they didn't get tight in the Pittsburgh game.
I know.
They kept taking their shots downfield. And Nate Hackett, remember I called out Nate Hackett and said he called a tremendous game against Pittsburgh. And he did get a little conservative in the second half. And you got to know in the back of your mind, New England's not going to lay down.
Yeah, you got to go for
gusto. You got to keep scoring.
Real quick about, I'm not changing the subject here. You're talking about Jameis and getting better. We all saw how Jameis ended the season, you know, where they called a play for Adam Humphries on the left sideline. Jameis said, heck with that, we're going yard. And he completes that bomb.
That takes some cojones.
To Godwin. Well, anyway.
Cojones, Mr.
I know. I'm setting Steve up here because I know he wants to talk about the DeSean Jackson comments on ESPN. At any rate. You know, DeSean Jackson had said something like he was telling Jameis, you got to be yourself. You got to be like you're at Florida State. You know, you got to be yourself. Quit trying to impress people. Well, did we see that before our own eyes with that bomb to Chris Godwin? Because obviously Humphries was open on the left side. That's what Cutter had called for. And Cutter and Jameis both said that everybody on the bench was like, oh, no, when Winston winged that ball. What, you think that came from DeSean Jackson? You know, because he's a gunslinger to begin with, and you think DeSean Jackson's like, hey, just be yourself. Be like you were at Florida State.
Steve, I didn't have a lot of problems with DeSean Jackson's remarks.
But was that evidence?
I didn't think he was ripping Winston to shreds.
He wasn't ripping him, but he didn't defend him either.
He's frustrated beyond belief, DeSean Jackson. He's got a lot of pride, and he didn't catch any balls past 40 yards. He's disgusted right now. But I don't think he showed his disgust necessarily.
No.
I thought it was gentle criticism.
Well,
rather gentle.
What I'm getting at is DeSean said he's been telling Jameis to be yourself. Did we see that? Was that evidence of DeSean Jackson's influence when Jameis said, the hell with the play Cutter called, I'm going for a touchdown here, and wings it to Godwin?
That was the Winston that they drafted with the first overall pick. That's the gunslinger out of Florida State. I think it would be a mistake to lean on him too much to try to curtail him, Steve. Now, look, he's got to be more careful with the ball without question. I'm still a Jameis Winston guy at this point. We'll see what happens with Uber. Can't forget about Uber.
No.
But I still believe in Jameis Winston, Steve.
Well, to answer Lee's question specifically, it's a tough question to answer. I doubted that DeSean Jackson was in his head at that moment.
Not at that moment, but I just think the influenced him.
I don't know what he was doing at Florida State in the sense of, was he doing that same kind of freelance type thing where he blew off the coach's call on fourth down with the game on the line? I don't know if he did that.
No, but he did do enough to get Jimbo Fisher bent out of shape at times.
Sure. I don't know. I don't know if that's Jameis Winston. I don't know if that's good when, you know, it worked.
Been. Yeah.
But it's a 1 out of 10 kind of play.
He left himself open to a lot of criticism.
Sure.
If it didn't work.
People would still be howling if he missed that pass right now.
But you know what? It was essentially the last play of the season.
Yeah.
I think that creates a whole nother framework on the play itself, you know, because it's literally the last play of the season, no matter what. So
is that the play where Cutter turns to Munkin while it's going on and says, Todd, what's he doing? Great play, Jameis.
He's trying to throw the quick out to get in better field goal range, and he airs it out, and game over. So, I don't know. It was fun, though. It was fun to think about.
Not a field. The field goal would have tied the score?
No, they wouldn't have won it.
Yeah,
field
goal would have won the game. Yeah,
won the game.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but anyway, Sage, back to the Jacksonville Patriots. Here they are, Patriots in the Super Bowl again.
Let me break that game down.
Bucks fans need to know? What do Bucks fans need
full
to
words.
Know?
I better know what they are.
They find a way.
Bill Parcells, Tom Brady.
Nah, they find a way. How many times are we going to see it? Did anybody think New England was out of that game? You know, are you crazy?
Never.
After last year's Super Bowl?
No.
How could you think that? And to do it without Gronkowski against that defense, Brady in the fourth quarter, against Seattle. Let's start with that Seattle game that ended on that crazy play. Brady was 10 for 10 in the fourth quarter against the Seahawks. Seattle had the best defense in football. Last year, Atlanta had a pretty good defense. Not Seahawks worthy,
sturdy,
but pretty good. Brady went crazy fourth quarter. Now he's playing Jacksonville. I think they had the best pass defense in the league. Brady went crazy. Amendola made some nice catches, no question.
You were listening to Russo about the same time I was that we talked before we started recording this podcast. Russo being Chris Russo. I want to say someone called up Russo, or maybe Russo himself said it, that everybody's overlooking this, and this might be the key. You just, all those elements you brought up, late in the game, Brady, boom, 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 against good defenses, Seattle, Atlanta, now Jacksonville, conditioning.
Close the distance.
I never thought of that.
He had 12 stitches in his hand. I mean, he's the best I've ever seen. I didn't see Otto Graham, no matter what you think. I didn't see Otto Graham, but I did see Montana.
Didn't you date his older sister?
And I didn't see Unitas in his prime. Not in his prime. You know, I was 10 years old when he was flinging it for the Baltimore Colts.
I vaguely remember him with the Chargers.
And by the time the Super Bowl rolled around, you know, when Namath beat him, he was a shell of himself.
Yeah.
He was done. He didn't even start that game, right?
Wasn't he hurt? Had a bum shoulder or
something? He came in the fourth quarter.
But he didn't start because of his hurt,
Brady, Brady's the best I've ever seen. You know, Steve, he's like Jordan. He's like the Kemper with the Joe Buck's website, staying on top of matters. By the way, Lee, I got to give you your props. I gave it to Isbitz for picking the Eagles and saying last year that the Falcons were going to be a very good team, even after the Bucs beat them in that opener, and I was trashing the Falcons. The Kemper, nobody covers the waterfront in terms of blogs, radio appearances. You are amazing. If somebody talks in Shanghai and mentions the Bucs, you got a story on it within 20 minutes.
I try.
Isbitz, he's a keeper. Keep him, Steve.
You know why I would take Montana over Brady? 4-0, zero picks.
You're right. 11 touchdowns, zero picks.
Now here's Russo brings this up with Montana. Look at the gauntlet the guy had to go through every year to get to the Super Bowl. The Bears in their prime. Redskins, Gibbs, three rings.
Giants.
Parcells. That was a gauntlet.
I understand.
That was a gauntlet. 4-0, no picks in the Super Bowl, that's money.
I don't know. I think sometime the older stuff gets romanticized a little bit. The gauntlet, you know, I think down the road we'll be saying, you know what, he got through Roethlisberger every year and Peyton Manning with the Colts and, you know, young Andrew Luck and those years. And
I don't see any drop-off, Steve. Where's the drop-off?
No, there's no drop-off.
Where's the drop-off?
It's an amazing team. I think their defense is underrated. I know you love to say, who's this guy and this guy?
But they were terrible in September, and they got a hell of a lot better.
They got a lot better, and then wouldn't we love to see the Buccaneers get a hell of a lot better? But now, Ira, when you watch these games, as I'm only interested in your sage wisdom, Ira, that's all I care about. When you watch these games,
and the shrimp poppers in front of you,
they're finished.
That are now gone.
They're gone. So when you think about the playoffs that you have just watched, and you just watched all these games, do you feel that the Bucs are better than you thought they were at the end of December, at the end of Week 17, or are the Bucs farther away than you thought they were?
It reminds me of the distance that the Bucs have to travel. Now, having said that, a year ago, if we're having this conversation, you'd say, a few things go right for the Bucs, and, you know, they have a good offseason. And they did have a good offseason, we thought.
Yeah.
Sean Jackson, O.J. Howard, and everything went south. Everything went south.
Quickly. All started in Minnesota.
Steve, it shows me, in terms of the Eagles, that the Bucs defense pales in comparison. When it comes to New England, you got Brady. And it shows that you still got the fourth best quarterback in your division. And they got the best there ever was. And the best coach of the modern era. Of the modern era. Belichick, I don't think there's any question.
Well,
that's a hell of a combination. And the Bucs don't have it.
You know, we always talk about, and rightly so, the fourth best quarterback in the division. Fourth worst quarterback in the division, check. Fourth worst coach, check. Fourth worst defense, check. Fourth worst defensive coordinator, check. So it's not just Jameis. It's a whole lot of things that are the worst.
Well,
in the
now Cutter's only been a coach for 2 years, and Peyton's been doing it a long time.
Well, still, you look at what Dan Quinn and Ron Rivera have accomplished. It's the fourth worst coach.
That's not a knock on Cutter. It just is.
You know, I mean, it is a knock on Cutter because
he
just
hasn't been in the Super Bowl
it's
yet.
Not his
the
fault.
Other guys have.
You know,
so.
I mean, the other guys are just better. It's the state of the Bucs. You know, we're just not good enough, and that's kind of sad.
And the Saints hit a home run in the offseason. They did.
Boy, they did.
And
getting back to what we talked about earlier with Howard and a need, Saints went out and got Kamara.
And Atlanta's drafted a lot better since Pioli joined the organization and help, is helping out Dimitroff. Because Dimitroff had a 3 or 4 year drought that I think cost Mike Smith his job. They didn't draft very well. Another set of eyes, Stephen. Another set of eyes.
Yeah, their 2016 draft was extraordinary. Put them in the playoffs, and it's a different organization.
Well, here's what I don't get. I love that Deion Jones, by the way, on Atlanta. He's a heck of a linebacker. I think he's comparable to Quan Alexander. I like that Deion Jones.
Here's what I don't get. You know, we were talking about how Pioli helped out Dimitroff with the draft, et cetera, et cetera. The rumor, for lack of a better term, Stroud put out. I think we talked about it in the last podcast. And I believe it because I know I have a pretty darn good idea who Stroud was talking to him. You know, that Jason Light was trying to get Dalvin Cook in the first round, but the fact that Howard was there, they drafted him instead, and that's why they didn't get a running back. So the implication is there, the Bucs, because they didn't get Dalvin Cook, just threw their hands up in the air and like, oh, okay, we give up. We're not getting a running back. I just want to shove my head into a toilet.
Well, tell that to the Saints and Chiefs.
I know. It's like,
you know.
I mean, I love Justin Evans. Justin Evans is a hell of a player. But tell me who would have had a bigger impact on the Bucs, Justin Evans or Alvin Kamara? Come on.
He's not a hell of a player yet. He might be on his way, but he's not.
What do you think the Bucs would have done with Alvin Kamara this year? I guarantee they would have won three more games easy.
It might have been worth two wins.
How many wins was Justin Evans worth? His biggest play was picking off Tom Brady, which they lost.
Now a lot of other teams are kicking themselves about Kamara and Kareem Hunt, too.
Well, I'm going to say that the Bucs would not have known how to use Kamara. Now, let's be realistic here. Kamara was a part-time running back this year. Part-time running back. Now, that means he would have been sharing carries with
Doug Martin.
Now, Doug Martin sucks. The Buccaneers don't know how to evaluate and figure out running backs as they stand right now. So why would anybody think that Kamara would do well on this Bucs team with Dirk Koetter this year?
Because he's fantastic.
Well, in a part-time role, better and they couldn't figure it out.
In a part-time role, he would have been complimenting Martin. Would they have figured that out? Would they have been? He caught 80.
Listen to what you're saying.
He caught 80 something passes in the Saints offense. 80 whatever it was, 86 passes. He wouldn't have caught 86 balls in the Bucs offense. You think Jason Light and this whole
Charles Sims would have got those targets?
Not that many. You think this offense,
after
signing DeSean Jackson in free agency and having Mike Evans, is going to dump the ball off to Kamara 86 times?
DeCapra, are you listening to what Mr. Isbitz is saying?
Mr. Isbitz is speaking from merit, I think, suggesting
that the Buck coaching staff, as constituted, and there's been
as opposed
no changes,
to constipated, okay.
As constituted, would not have known how to utilize the man who's going to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year award. And I voted for him in that regard. It's going to be announced the night before the Super Bowl. And by doing so, I picked him over the rookie that led the league in rushing, Kareem Hunt, from
your
my
boy.
Beloved Chiefs.
Yeah.
And I went with Kamara because Kamara is a better player. And that's hard for me to say.
I agree with Isbitz, as crazy as it sounds. You know why? Not because I'm crazy.
Boom.
Not because Isbitz is crazy. Oh, the waitresses are leaving us. That's
We have a changing of the guard here. Who gets the tip?
Annie.
Oh, my God.
Well, the thing that drives me bananas, and I think what Steve says has merit, is because clearly Peyton Barber was a better option to run the ball than Doug Martin. Time after time after time, 11 flipping times, they started Doug Martin, and they expected a different result. And you know what the old cliche is? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over.
The Bucks have to own that, Steve. They got to live with it.
So if they couldn't figure out Doug Martin wasn't done, how would they be able to figure out Kamara was a better
option? I'm not blaming Doug Martin for going 5-11, but he certainly didn't help.
He did not help whatsoever. Of the top 10 rushing teams in the NFL this year, 9 made the playoffs.
Nice.
All right, Sage, look, just to clarify, I don't think there's really any argument. I know it maybe sounds harsh, but Kamara, he only carried the ball more than 10 times a few times.
Well, first of all, Mark Ingram's pretty good.
Sean Payton is an almost legendary offensive coach. Okay, he's going to be one day maybe on the fringes of Hall of Fame conversation.
Spread it around.
Spreads it around, different players, whatever you want to say. It took him games to figure out Adrian Peterson. We're going to dump him and use Kamara and split the carries. He was not a fit for the Bucs. Now, it doesn't mean they shouldn't have drafted Kareem Hunt, who was there for them in the same place Kamara was. But come on, this Dirk Koetter, Kareem, and Kamara has a bad marriage.
I thought Dirk Koetter's an offensive guru. Well, what happened? You want to give him Alvin Kamara, and Dirk Cutter says, I don't know how to use the guy? Come on, Ismets, what's going on over there?
I'm just calling it like it is with the personnel they have.
They putting those shrimp poppers over there.
But Steve, Steve's using hard evidence as his premise. And you can't argue with evidence.
Sage, let's go back to DeSean Jackson's comments. Basically, like you said, he was fair, gentle criticism.
Rather benign, you know.
Rather benign, gentle criticism of Jameis, you know, pointing out things that he thought Jameis should be changing. He didn't offer a defense when he was told that, hey, this guy's regressed.
You know, didn't say anything technically was wrong with him.
He didn't say, hey, whoa, regression, I can't go there.
He doesn't have a good enough arm. Well,
real quick, Max Kellerman was hit him with the question, and basically Max Kellerman yelled. It wasn't a gentle Charlie Rose. I hate to use gentle with Charlie Rose. It wasn't a Charlie Rose-like interview.
Keep your clothes on.
Yeah, Max Kellerman screamed at him, you won't say this, but I will. Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston regressed this year. I'll say it. You won't. And DeSean Jackson did not argue that point. Did not even defend
First of all,
Jameis.
Jackson wasn't here in 2016 to judge Winston's regression, so-called.
So, but forgetting about his not addressing that, he was critical of Jameis for things he does on the field. He said Jameis does all the right things in meetings. I've seen him in meetings.
Good
he
leader.
Said. You know, leadership is there, blah, blah, blah. But basically, Jackson was saying the stuff he's doing on the field, you know, worrying about impressing people and not being himself, he's not a leader on the field because I am not going to behave that way. And neither should Jameis and neither should our players.
Who's he trying to impress is what I
find out. So to me, it was a knock on Jameis's on-field, in-the-huddle leadership, which is what really matters, not the other fluffy stuff. So here's probably the most experienced guy on the offense saying the quarterback is not somebody you want to follow on game day.
He'll learn from it, Steve. He'll evolve.
It's a little interesting, though. I mean, because we've been told by everybody under the sun that Jameis is the ultimate leader. Here's a guy saying, don't be like Jameis.
Lee, check me on this. Isn't Jackson the guy that people jumped on when he was doing the Eat the W speech and saying DeSean Jackson wasn't even listening to him? Jackson the guy people pointed out, look, he's not even listening
to him?
Well,
he was in the background. He was kind of like, what the hell's going on here?
Am I right about that? It was Jackson.
He and DeMar Dotson had this bizarre look on their face, like, what the hell's this guy doing? And there were some others. I mean, but Jackson was one of those.
Look, he's 23, Lee. Now, if it's 26 and he's still doing this kind of stuff, we got a problem.
That might be what DeSean Jackson was referring to. He's trying to impress too many people with the leadership, the eating W's, that kind of stuff.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either, but I don't know. I'm speculating.
He'll learn from it. It's not the worst thing.
I don't even have a problem with him eating the W's. So what is he going to learn from?
Yeah. the main point is stop trying to impress
people. Shove all the fingers you want in your mouth, your ass. I don't care. Win ball games.
And score in the red zone.
I still think Jameis should have patented that. Or copyrighted or whatever, trademarked it, whatever. It was about a week later, eating W's. I was watching a Stanford-Cal game on Friday night on FSN1. Stanford got a pick, or deep in their own territory, to basically put the game away late. And the linebackers coming off the field eating W's.
Hey, one thing I took out of some of these games, tell me if I'm
wrong
here,
please
guys.
Tell us. Share your wisdom, Ira.
Lee, I'm going to address this to Cutter. Now, look, he's got a reputation. Well-earned as a very smart offensive coach.
Mm-hmm.
His first year here when he was coordinator, they set franchise records.
Yes.
And Winston took every snap as a rookie.
He did.
And they set a franchise record. That's impressive. But watching the games yesterday and watching the Bucs for 16 games, Winston as the head coach, he's lost some of his inventiveness. Some of his creativity. For example, and you know I'm right about this. You don't want to overdo it. You don't overdo it.
Iris
but every time.
Iris' favorite preface. You know I'm right about this.
You know I'm right about this. When you do that flea flicker or you do that double pass, all of a sudden people hold their breath because they know this thing has a very good chance of succeeding. A very good one. You don't overdo it. The Bucs did none of it. The Bucs did
very
none of
little.
It. Zero.
Didn't they have DeSean Jackson on what do they call those things? It's not a sweep, jet sweep? Didn't they use him once?
Mohamed Sanu can throw a touchdown pass.
Oh, my gosh.
And I can't see the Bucs trying any gimmick plays. In a while, they're a difference maker,
I just want to – you bringing that up, I just want to go mental right now, get thrown out of this place. That that Sanu play when he lined up as a spread option quarter. Oh my!
Frankly, Ira, in 3 years, even with Lovey, there were no trick plays from the Bucs offense that I remember. I've made notes of it before.
I don't say it's got to be a staple.
Once I saw in training camp Charles Sims throw a pass.
How was it?
I saw that once.
Did it flutter?
It wasn't special. I don't remember what happened. It doesn't matter.
Did it flutter like the Kemper's heartstrings when the waitress comes by?
Exactly. Something like that. But he just doesn't do it. It's not something he does. I don't consider a sweep to DeSean Jackson a trick play. I know what you're talking about. Look at what Belichick did the other day, Sunday.
Belichick's doing it.
Yes, he does.
He's desperate against the Patriots. I mean, what a beautiful praise, if you will, for the Jaguars defense. Belichick's pulling out multiple trick plays because he's got the best quarterback of all time, and he's pulling out razzle dazzle to try to get something happen. Cutter doesn't even have it. We saw Mike Sullivan call a pass in Seattle from Mike James through a touchdown pass to
a little jump pass.
Beautiful. Don't see anything from Cutter. Not
Isn't
even
that
one.
The game the Bucks led 24-3 at the half. Yeah.
And then they're pounding the rock. I still can't get over this. 2013.
James is running wild.
Is running wild. They don't run the ball one more time with 7.5 minutes left. What are you out of your mind? Pound the rock. I can't get over that.
I got him going over there.
This is what, you got me going, too.
This is why we're JoeBucksFan.com, Ira.
One gimmick play.
All right, two things, Ira, because we're wrapping up the podcast, but two very important things.
Right.
First, this is short because I just wanted to mention it since it's in my potpourri of notes for
The Thursday podcast. I'm going to tell the Derek Brooks story on the Thursday podcast.
What's the Derek Brooks story?
Well, the breakfast.
I thought that was this podcast.
No. You said we're wrapping up, so it's a long story.
All right.
It's going to be a long story.
I'm listening to Cutter the other day.
It's the offseason.
I'm re-listening to his wrap-up show on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Okay.
And Dirk Cutter is asked about the red zone troubles.
This is not the podium with us.
No.
This is different.
This is the red zone troubles of the Bucs. He's asked about by a fan. Of course, that was the bugaboo for the Bucs this year. They don't score in the red zone. They move the ball to the 20, and they nothing. So what does Cutter say? He says, well, you know what? In the offseason, it starts by studying it. Because we got to study it. It's not just one thing. We got to study it. That's the quote. Starts by studying it. I'm like, starts by study. What have you been doing?
Don't you study it for 16 weeks?
You've been studying it for 16 weeks. What are you doing? And why don't you have other people in here if you can't figure it out? Pay somebody out of your own damn pocket if the Glazers won't cough up $100,000 and figure the damn thing out. There are people out there who can study this stuff for you. That blew me away, Ira. Starts by studying it. What have you been doing?
Oh, boy. I didn't even know you were going to come up with that.
Well,
Steven,
I'm writing about that this week because I can't believe it. All right. So, Ira, you don't want to tell the Derek Brooks story now.
Now, wait a minute. We got a little Brent Grimes. We can finish up with a little Brent Grimes over there, Steve. I was thinking about the Buck off season and free agency. And, Lee, everybody is going to focus on who's out there. And the Bucks should pick up this guy and this guy fits. And I said, wait a minute. The first thing you got to think about is a guy that you could lose in free agency.
Exactly.
And that leads me to your point.
So you wrote about Brent Grimes, Ira, your Monday column, your Sage Wisdom, of course, your columns.
I had a hell of a quote from Keith Tandy in there, Stephen.
Your columns
and
fire.
And I got them by myself.
Your columns fire Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on JoeBucksFan.com. The quote from Grimes.
Why don't you read that quote from
Tandy? I got
Keith
it right
Tandy.
Here.
No, from Tandy.
On. I know. I got it right here.
Let Calm me down.
Who's running this ship?
Let the Kemper hear it.
No, I'm teasing you. The quote is, Grimes has done some things around here that I didn't think were possible. And he goes on to elaborate that he's the best he's ever seen. Keep in mind, Tandy played with Darrell Revis. He also, his mentor when he got into the league was Rondé Barber. And that was pretty special. I thought it was fascinating when he said things I didn't think were possible, which that speaks to a whole nother level of something.
I think he probably meant, for his height, his athleticism.
I don't know what he meant. You talk to him. But the point is, you made the point, Ira, that Grimes, they have to pay this guy, and he has ultimate leverage, and really what you were saying is next season is unthinkable without Brent Grimes.
I listed the other candidates, Steven.
So, I mean, what more can you
Lee,
tell everybody?
Am I wrong here, or is Miko already on record saying money, we want to be paid? As if we needed to know that.
A couple years ago, maybe it was last year, but within the last couple years, this is about Grimes. Steve and I advocated that the Bucks should franchise Doug Martin, basically forcing him into a one-year prove-it contract. We got trashed on social media for that. Bucks would have saved money by doing that. Bucks would have saved money by doing that.
How does this relate to Grimes?
Same thing. Sign it, franchise him. Yeah, it's going to cost you $14 million. How much is it going to cost you if you don't have him? Probably cost you your job.
You got to fill the spots.
Got to fill the spot.
Glazers have to sign off on that, too. You know, that's what makes this thing so interesting and tough is the owners have to say, all right, well, we're going to overpay this guy by $4.5 million.
He's also a good guy in the locker room, too, Steve. That counts.
If the Bucks win, they're going to make up that $4 million in droves.
It counts, Ira, but I got to say this, and it goes for a lot of players. It counts, but what has it done?
Well,
we got Ryan Smith. He's overmatched. We got Brent
Hargraves fell off the map.
Wait, here's a point, and I mentioned this in my column. It doesn't look like Mike Smith has any inclination to use Grimes if he's back, even if he's back, in a way that other teams use the Patrick Petersons and the Xavier Rhodes.
Like a spy.
It doesn't look like that.
No, it doesn't.
And
that's
so
a game on Mike Smith.
Do you want to pay the guy $14
million? I think
that's a fair
question. Well, I think Grimes, i.e.
and
Nico.
I'm still waiting for an answer on the Julio Jones.
He has him over a barrel.
He's got all the leverage.
Yes.
Somebody's going to pay him, Lee. Going to pay him.
Well, I don't know.
I think they will.
No, he'll be paid. He'll work in the NFL, but is someone going to make him a top 10 paid cornerback and pay him $10 million?
I
don't know.
On a two-year contract. Why not?
I don't know. And not every team. I mean, older guys get paid less. Why didn't Julius Peppers make big money this year? Everybody knows he's a freak of nature.
Because his plays dropped off, I would even say significantly, but he's still useful. Grimes hasn't dropped off significantly.
Still useful.
Peppers had 10 sacks.
He has 11 sacks, Ira. He's an animal.
Wait a minute. That's what Light said about Noah Spence.
If he's still useful, what are the guys we got?
I know. Well, it's not vintage Julius Peppers, but still.
No, but he's still darn good. Yeah.
It's pretty damn good.
The Grimes thing is interesting. I don't know what's going to go down. I think they're going to negotiate it as best as they can.
Am I overrating how well Grimes played? Am I overrating?
No.
No, I don't. People say he doesn't want to tackle. I don't think that's true.
Couple of times, but that happens.
Just look what he did to Odell Beckham. That's all I got to say. Oh, he was beautiful against Odell Beckham.
No, he's an excellent football player. If you stripped away the age, you'd say, well, how could we possibly get rid of this guy because he's athletic and he's the best we got by a mile. If he doesn't come back or if he plays chicken with the Bucks, I don't know what they're going to do.
Because they got to go sign somebody else.
They got to sign somebody
else.
Who's
out there?
Who's out there? It's a mess.
Well, there's rumors about Malcolm Butler. Maybe you can get Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, there's going to be some.
Johnson. Well, here's what complicates it. And I've written this the last two or three weeks. I've been going on a binge about this. And if it hacks people off at $1, I don't care. Prove me wrong. Under Mike Smith, they can't develop a young cornerback. They butchered Brian Smith. You could argue at this point they ruined Vernon Hargraves.
The problem with the Grimes situation from a Buck standpoint is Hargraves hasn't stepped up. If Hargraves stepped up as an outside corner, not a slot guy, as an outside corner that can shadow people, you're not desperate to bring Grimes back.
Thank you. And he looked to be that guy,
and
all of a sudden he falls off the map.
He's a guy that we all tabbed as a guy who's going to take a big step up in 2017.
So did Jason Light. Jason Light, to go back a year or two, and I'm not knocking Jason for this, is actually intelligent, I think. He signed Grimes, then drafted Hargraves with the theory Grimes was going to be that bridge. And once Grimes' contract was up, Hargraves was going to take over.
Well, interesting stuff out there. The cornerback market, there'll be guys out there, but I don't think the Bucks are willing to be bold with cornerback. You know, and I hate to say this, Darrell Revis is out there. He's out there.
Bite your tongue, Steve. Bite your tongue.
Everybody saw the video of him not...
He's done. He's
not
done.
Tackling. Well, he's done.
He's done.
When he was with the Chiefs this year, Ira, he didn't allow one touchdown pass.
He's done.
I got a question for you, Ira.
He was out there the whole year. Nobody wanted him. Nobody wanted him.
They didn't want to pay him.
I got a question for you, Ira. Which is a dumber move? The Bucks letting Michael Bennett go for no good reason, walk away, or a guy who's now in the Big Ten actually thought Mike Jenkins could replace Darrell Revis?
Boy, did I get mad every time I heard Mike Jenkins' name.
No.
Mike Jenkins is a very good fifth corner. Fifth corner.
All right, Sage, we're kicking you out of Hooters. Thursday's podcast, you sat down with Mr. Derek Brooks.
The Don.
You've got some stories to tell, or at least one good long one, and we can't wait. So get out of here.
You might take up half the next podcast over there, Stevie. You never know.
Whatever you got to say. We'll clear the decks for you. Have a good one, Sage.